97.5 The Fanatic.
Well, good Saturday morning, Philadelphia. A beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning. Last week was cold. We're back to the good weather. I hope everybody enjoyed their Fridays. It was just awesome. Just an awesome day yesterday. Hope people practice their social distancing. I just got to get that out front. I did. I hung out in the backyard. Took the shirt off, Josh. Got tan. Nobody could see me. You know, I have a fence around me. Even though there's, you know, the apartments next to me are higher, so they could look right down. But, you know, I just pretend they're not there. But anyways, hope everybody's enjoying the beautiful May weather that we're getting right now. May 16th. May 16th, we're, what, 2 months into this? A little over 2 months. I'm proud of everybody for sticking together for the most part. Take the politics stuff out of it. When it comes to sports, I think we've done well. I think we've done a good job surviving. Fortunately, we've had some events. We've had the NFL draft. Fortunately, we had the NFL schedule release, even though there are some people that were bummed out by the schedule release because they said, what's the point? And I understand that. I was more so very excited for it. But we've had events. And we continue to get more and more stuff that comes out every once in a while. And there's nothing new about the NBA. There's nothing new about the MLB, NHL, NFL. There's nothing new about that kind of stuff. But there is constant conversation between owners and commissioners and player unions and players about possibly restarting or starting baseball in general. Or, you know, once football starts September 13th for the Eagles, Redskins, they're starting on time. There's constant conversation with doctors, with other people in medical personnel, with officials, you know, governors, mayors, the president, constant conversation surrounding the world of sports. And here we are now on May 16th, and there's not much that's new right now, but we got some new audio is what I'm getting at here. Brett Brown was on with Anthony Gargano yesterday, Cuz Radio Midday Show 10 to 2. And it's the first time that we've heard from Brett in a while. And I know Brett did the conference call beforehand with members of the media, the Zoom conference call. But it was the first time since everything halted where Brett Brown did a one-on-one radio interview. And he did it with Anthony, and it was great. And there was a lot that was discussed. And there's a couple of key things that I came away with, and we'll play the audio coming up in a little bit. But he talked about this team still being built for the playoffs. And when he went through his, you know, his reasoning why and how he said it at the very beginning of the season and how he still feels that way today with a two-month layoff, whether there was a two-month layoff or not, he would still feel today that this team was built for the playoffs. And still is if the league does come back. And when I hear that stuff, when I hear Brett say it, I go, you know what? I love that confidence, Brett. I love it. You know, I could see how it works out. Ben's going to be healthy. From all reports, it's reports from Brett and Elton Brand, so there is a team bias. But from all reports, apparently Joel Embiid looks like he's in incredible shape. Apparently Joel Embiid looks better now than he did in the regular season. I'll have to see that to believe it because we all know how it goes with Joel Embiid. He misses two games. It looks like he puts up 50 pounds, even though he's in supreme athletic ability way more than me. But still, you know what it is. He takes 2 days off and all of a sudden it looks like he hasn't played for 2 months. Well, it has been 2 months. So what is it going to look like when he steps back on the floor? But they speak highly of Joel Embiid. They have hinted, they're not going to say it, because of how poorly this has been for the world, the pandemic. But they hint at, yeah, you know what? This two-month layoff may have worked out for us. Because Ben's healthy. We didn't have to rush him back. Joel's in great shape. Al Horford, an aging veteran, had some time to let his legs rest. Because let's face it, before the world came to a halt, Al Horford looked like he was struggling moving up and down the court. So, again, without them saying it, they are hinting that this pandemic, the two-month layoff, has kind of helped out the Sixers if the playoffs do come back. So when I hear Brett Brown say that stuff, I go, you know what, man? Yeah, I love it. and my heart gets excited and I go, maybe Tobias Harris is ready to take over. This team is long. Brett Brown said yesterday that their wristband is the longest in the NFL. They are the tallest team in the NFL. Wingspan, sorry. And I go, all right, I can see how this works out. But then the interview comes to an end. I'm sitting there and I go, yeah, do I really buy that? Because I don't. My heart tells me that he's right and I'm excited and I got to give the Sixers a chance. But then when I sit back and think about it, I go, man, just 2 days ago, I was saying how Brett Brown should be fired. Whether this season resumes or not, unless they win a championship, Brett Brown's probably done. Because you need to find a coach that's going to come out here and really make the whole Embiid and Simmons thing work. It's ridiculous to say trade Embiid. It's ridiculous to say trade Simmons. How about you bring in a coach first that's going to try to figure it out, try to find out what's best for them. And if that new coach can't do it, a new coach that you brought in specifically to handle those two players. Remember, Brett Brown's been here through the process. Brett Brown didn't know coming into the job that he was going to have Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. If there's a coach out there right now that may be planning already, and he comes into his interview with Elton Brand and, you know, Josh Harris and company and completely blows them away and says, this is what I got for Ben and Joel, then that guy gets hired. And if it doesn't work out, then you start considering moving on from players. But right now, you're not doing any of that. First step is getting back. Second step is seeing what happens when the Sixers do come back. And if they lose early or second round, even Eastern Conference Finals, third step is time to move on from Brett Brown. If they get to the NBA Finals and win or lose, you go, all right, Brett's back for another year. So I want to play some audio for you. And the number to get in today is 610-632-0975. We have a lot of fun things in store for today. Obviously, there's the thing that's going on Twitter right now is when you see this logo, who's the first player you think of? And for those who aren't on Twitter or for those who don't understand what I'm saying, they posted like the Sixers logo from the early 2000s, the one with the basketball that goes underneath the word Sixers. And the tweet is, who's the first name that comes to your mind when you see this? And obviously the answer is Allen Iverson. But I kind of want to have more fun with that. I want to kind of go, all right, who's the second guy then? Or if it is somebody else that you think of first. Like Allen Iverson was the first I thought of. But then I also immediately thought of Kyle Korver and Rodney Carney. First two guys I thought of. Rodney Carney in the high white socks. And Kyle Korver when he still had the nice coif. Still had the long hair. I got the coif going right now. I got the quarantine coif going on. So we're going to have some fun with that. And also Bryce Harper. I'm not going to talk about the comments by Blake Snell and Bryce Harper. I did that yesterday and the day before. But Bryce Harper put something out on Instagram yesterday about a playoff format that he says, here's what I'm thinking. But it was very, very long. So when he says, this is what I'm thinking, I feel like somebody's telling him something. And it's also something that was reported like a while back, like a month or two ago. So I kind of want to see where people stand with a playoff format for this year that's different. Not the five-game series and then the seven and the seven. It's totally different. And I'll explain all that coming up. But first, I want to start with the Sixers. And I want to start with some audio. This was Brett Brown on with Anthony Gargano yesterday. And it's the cut that I was talking about to start the show with. It's how he believes that this team from the very beginning and still is here on May 16th, 2 months after the season has been halted, he still believes that the Sixers are built for the playoffs.
I completely agree, and I don't think we've ever pivoted once from that notion. Like, this team, and maybe I got myself in trouble, you know, just back when. It's like, I said it, and I'll say it again. Like, the team is built for the playoffs. And it doesn't, you know, lob out excuses of what can happen up until then. Like, none of us have taken our eye off the ball because of that comment and belief that I have. And there is an element of reality where how do you peak? You know, how do you land the plane? And I feel like we were doing this. There's a lot of possible benefits, like the time frame off might have helped Ben Simmons, you know, get back to, you know, normality, get back to a greater level of health, or, you know, time off could have helped Joel. I still, in a perfect world, would want to coach a team for as long as you can to develop continuity and familiarity. We didn't get that this year, but I feel, to your original point, like, the team is designed for the playoffs. we all hope very, very much that we get a chance to prove that.
So when I hear the end there, we hope we very, very much get a chance to prove that. To me, that's Brett Brown sort of sending a message to, you know, not only the fans, but front office, and goes, hey, listen, I didn't get a chance to prove my plan from the very beginning built for the playoffs. You got to give me another year if the season comes to an end. If the season does return, all right, Brett, you say you're built for the playoffs. You've been saying that from the very beginning. Remember, early in the season, he said the Sixers were going to be a one seed and that they were going to be built for the playoffs. To me, that's what hurt them more. That hurts. Brett Brown said maybe it got me in trouble for saying this, the whole we're built for the playoffs. No, what got you in trouble, with me at least, there's two things. One was we're going to be the one seed in the Eastern Conference, and you dropped to sixth. So that bothers me a lot. The other thing that he kept on saying, he said it in November, he said it in early December, he said it in mid-December. Give me till the end of the calendar year. The end of the calendar year of 2019, and I will have figured this whole thing out. He said it. He said he will figure it out by the end of the calendar year of 2019. And what happened? More disappointing losses on the road to teams that you should be beating, to teams that if you did beat, you're closer to that 60-win mark that we were talking about before the season even started. And that just didn't happen. So those are the things that, to me, got Brett Brown in trouble the most. Not saying that this team's built for the playoffs, because quite frankly, I can see it. Because defense matters more in the playoffs than it does in the regular season. And this team is supposed to be built more defensively. The only thing, they weren't consistent with it. Like, your shortest player in the starting five was Josh Richardson, a guy who's a good defender. It's not J.J. Redick's your shortest defender who can't do a lick on defense. But Josh Richardson, shortest player on defense or on the starting five, can play defense, along with Ben Simmons, along with Al Horford, along with Joel Embiid, and Tobias Harris, who might not be a lockdown defender, at least is a willing defender, which does go a long way in the NBA. There's a big difference between the willing defender and then the guy that doesn't want to defend at all. So I don't find that that gets him in trouble saying we were built for the playoffs or are built for the playoffs. I don't say he's wrong with that. The problem is you don't have much shooting, which shooting will, regular season or playoffs, it does go a long way. The biggest thing is defense and being able to score when you are controlling the clock or controlling the momentum of the game and being able to score in a half-court game, which again, the Sixers could do. If Joel Embiid decided to show up every night, if Joel Embiid was healthy, if Al Horford could hit those three-point shots, if they could space more down low with Embiid and Simmons at the same time when Horford moves out, or if Horford's on off the court. Because remember, they started moving to Horford coming off the bench to start games. And you can make it work where Embiid and Simmons are down on opposite blocks at the same time and let Josh Richardson handle the point a little bit, or let Tobias Harris handle the point a little bit. They started doing something for a millisecond and it worked. And that was when either Tobias Harris or Josh Richardson were handling the ball and they were running a pick and roll with Ben Simmons. And when you're running a pick and roll with Ben Simmons, so much can happen because Josh Richardson or Tobias Harris are a threat to take the jump shot. When you're running a pick and roll, Ben Simmons has the ball, Joel Embiid is setting the pick. Ben Simmons doesn't show any risk to pull up. So what is the big man on the other team going to do? He's just going to stay back. He'll stay back. They make the switch and the guard is on Joel Embiid just to try to mess him up when he's going to attempt a three-pointer. So you can't run the pick and roll with Ben Simmons with the ball in his hand. But what they started doing for a millisecond was Tobias Harris or Josh Richardson handling the ball, pick and roll with Ben Simmons. And if Ben Simmons rolls, look, he's 6'10". He can jump up, alley-oop, or if he's open, he can obviously flush it home. Or if he steps back, right, and then Tobias Harris or Josh Richardson drops it back to Ben Simmons, yes, he's not a threat to shoot, but now he's a threat to pass. So the other two guys that are on the court, the other three guys that are on the court, they're finding a way to get open. Ben Simmons can make something work. What if you set an off-ball screen? So let's say Tobias Harris is running the point. Ben sets the pick. He fades back instead of rolling to the net. Tobias finds Ben. But all of a sudden, Embiid set an off-ball screen for Josh Richardson to hit a mid-range jump shot. Boom, that's 2 points. You can make it work. Brett Brown's not wrong when he says we are built for the playoffs. But the problem is, not once, maybe twice, you saw it actually work. during the regular season. You saw it game one against the Celtics, and you saw it the final game against the Clippers. And you could say, well, they won against the Lakers. Well, that was the Ben Simmons show. That was all Ben Simmons. The game against the Rockets, Ben Simmons. Joel Embiid was not even a factor because Joel Embiid couldn't keep up and down the court like with Ben Simmons and the way the Rockets play offense with Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Joel Embiid was not a factor in that game. So to me, the games that you really take away are the games where everyone was a factor. Even if Al Horford only scored 8 points, he played well defensively, grabbed some rebounds. But that was only two times. And I can't take away from two games, just two games, that this team can make a run to the NBA Finals. My heart is with Brett and says, you're so right. And we always have to couch it, right? Brett Brown's such a good guy. I don't actively root for him to get fired. He's such a nice guy. I would love him to win a championship in Philadelphia. I would love any coach to win a championship in Philadelphia because that means I'm celebrating down Broad Street. But there is a certain bias toward Brett Brown because of how nice he is. The way he speaks. The words he uses. The accent that everybody loves for the most part. Right? Like, I get why people say that. Oh, I want Brett to win because he's such a nice guy. But you know what? When it comes to sports, if you think it's time to move on from someone, whether they're the nicest person in the world or whether they're the biggest piece of dog bleep in the world, it's time to move on. Chip Kelly was the biggest piece of dog bleep there was. And when they realize, you know what? This guy is A, not a good person, B, not a good coach. It's time. We don't care that it's only year three. We don't care. It's time to move on. Brett Brown, as nice a guy as he is, does his kind personality allow him an eighth season as the head coach? And forget the first five, right? Forget it. So does he get a third or a fourth year because of his kindness? I don't know. I don't think so, because I'm not sold that he is a good head coach. I'm not sold. I was sold last year during the Raptors series. During the Nets series. Now, you were supposed to blow the Nets out, but you know what? He made adjustments and won that series against Brooklyn. Toronto, he made adjustments and got to Game 7 against the team that ultimately won the NBA Finals. He sold me last year. But here we go, another roster. And during that cut you heard, he mentioned the continuity. And you got to hear it again. Oh, well, we only had our starters for 19 out of the 65 games. We hear that over and over again, and I get it. But I got to do some research, and I forgot to do it last night, and I apologize. But I'm going to try to do it during breaks today. I want to see how many of those 65 games, they at least had four of the five starters. Even though Joel Embiid, if he's out, it makes a huge impact. Because he's your rim defender. He does a lot of things on offense for you. I know people complain about him stepping out too much, but he also does a lot on the block that people just focus on the three-point shot. But he does a lot for you on offense, even off the ball. But I want to know how many times, all right, Joel Embiid was out, but you still had Simmons, you still had Horford, you still had Richardson, and you still had Harris. And again, Embiid's the biggest hole that you have to try to fill if one of the five starters are out. If it's him, yeah, you got a lot to fill there. But you still have four very talented players in their starting five. So I want to see how many times in those 65, you can give me all you want. Oh, well, 19 out of the 65. Only 19 out of the 65 we had our starting five. But if you had like 57 out of the 65, at least four, you should have played better. Especially on the road. You only lost twice at home. You were terrible on the road. You were a disaster on the road. I want to leave you with one more cut. And the number to get in is 610-632-0975. Rob, I see that you're there. Robin Westchester, you'll be first. I want people to react to the audio from Brett Brown.
I think the thing that I'm always reminded of is you look at LeBron, Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant. You know, they won their first championship at 28. And, you know, Ben's 23 and Joel's 27. And there's not, again, you know, driven to make any concession or excuse, but there's a reality that this stuff at times takes time. We could all think back, like maybe you could have done something last year if the ball bounces a different way? And what really will it look like if we can play this year? Our goal is still to contest for a title. That's the bottom line.
So the key thing is Jordan, LeBron, Kevin Durant. Michael Jordan and LeBron James are considered one and two best all-time players in the NBA. ESPN put out that list. Kevin Durant was in the top 20. Three very, very talented basketball players did not win until the age of 28. You've been watching the documentary, the docuseries of Michael Jordan. They admitted that they needed to put some more pieces around him. They needed Horace Grant and Scottie Pippen to start winning. Now you had Michael Jordan, right? So it's not like you needed, you know, Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. You didn't need a big three, but you needed better players. But the Sixers, I see Embiid, I see Simmons, I see two very young, talented future stars in the league. Future superstars, excuse me. They are stars already. But they also already have Harris. They have Horford. The bench is abysmal. The Sixers bench is just terrible because they had to put so much money into all those starters. I don't know if I like the excuse. I get it. I totally understand it. You need to take your lumps. You need to get smacked in the face to get more motivated and to really play hard. But, I mean, you have two. I don't know. I'm torn by that comment because it's factually correct. It is correct. It took Michael Jordan and LeBron James and Kevin Durant until the age of 28 to win an NBA Finals, to win the title. Ben Simmons is just 23. Joel Embiid is just 26. Now, I know nobody will go for this. Oh, well, I have to wait 2 more years for Embiid to turn 28 to maybe win a championship, or I have to wait 5 more years for Ben Simmons to turn 28 to maybe win a championship. Nobody wants to hear that. And I'm not saying that's how long it's going to take. I really don't think it will. If they can really figure it out with the right coach, in my opinion, and a bench, because you need somewhat of a bench. I mean, Matisse Thybulle was good off the bench, but he had the rookie legs later in the season. But if you can really formulate a roster and bring in probably the right coach, because I don't know if Brett Brown is it, now all of a sudden, that 28 could be washed away. Embiid could be 27, and Simmons could be 24. Or Embiid does turn 28, and Simmons is just 25, and then you win. But when you hear those two cuts, the Sixers, according to Brett Brown, have always been built for the playoffs, and still are, and he hopes that he gets a chance to prove it. That was cut one, and we'll play them throughout the show. The second cut was the age cut. Jordan, LeBron, Durant, age 28 when they finally won. Simmons is just 23, and Embiid is just 26. Are you buying into that at all? Or are you kind of like me where you go, yeah, man, it sounds great and my heart feels for you, but I'm just ready to move on. So let's talk some Sixers. It's nice to talk some Sixers because during the pandemic, during this world without sports, I think people have gotten a breath of fresh air not having to bitch and moan about the Sixers every single day like we do, whether it's Ben Simmons' jump shot or whether it's Brett Brown's coaching or it's Joel Embiid taking too many threes or it's Al Horford being a bad signing, which ultimately means Elton Brand's a bad GM. It was nice to get that 2 month off. But now I'm ready to talk some Sixers today. 610-632-0975. We'll also play the fun game today about the player that you think of when I give you this. Now it's radio, so I can't share a logo with you. I'll give you some errors. I'll give you years. And then also, I'll give you this on the other side. Bryce Harper has given a new format for a one-year playoff. Not for the rest of the humanity, but for this year, a playoff format. And I'm telling you right now, even though the majority of people love it, I'm out. I don't want to do it. 610-632-0975. Josh Rabick is producing the show today. I'm going to get his thoughts coming up as well. Robin Westchester, you hang tight. Open line 610-632-0975. Everybody enjoy this great Saturday morning. I'm Andrew Salchunas. I'm taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
929, 97.5, The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas taking you until noon. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. We'll get to the phones in a second. But I need to give you the Bryce Harper playoff format. And I'm also going to get Josh Rabick's thoughts on the playoff format as well as the Sixers conversation that we're starting off with. But Bryce Harper went on Instagram yesterday and posted a long post. And when I say long, I mean this was very well thought out. And even though I don't think, I'm not saying Bryce Harper's not a smart man, but I'm saying this was so well thought out that I feel like this was coming from someone. And why not give it to a star player in the league who also, not the majority, but pissed off the minority of baseball fans. And not like a 5% minority, but like 35, 40% minority when he made those comments agreeing with Blake Snell, who completely went off about refusing to play for half his pay and whatnot. And quite frankly, I agree with the players, but the way they handled it, the way they went public with it, come on. When there are people fighting for jobs right now, people that are, you know, unemployment, you name it, now's not the time to be complaining about only getting $10 million when you're usually going to get $30. And I get it, $10 million compared to $30 is a lot for them, but let's face it, you know, there are people that are thankful to have minimum wage jobs right now during this time. But anyways, that's a different conversation that I quite frankly just don't feel like having anymore. But Bryce Harper pitches out an idea for a potential playoff for this year. And he gives all these ideas from the regular season about 135 games, which I think is still way too much. He talked about doubleheaders on Mondays and Sundays, and they're both 7 innings. I think that's too much. I mean, that's 4 games in 2 days. But also, you know, 6-man rotation, all this kind of stuff. But the big thing is the playoffs. The regular season, I don't think that can happen. I don't think you play 135 games. But for the playoffs, he gives this. 2-week World Series like the Super Bowl week. I don't know what that means, but I'm guessing you span the 7 games over two. I don't get that. Anyways, 10 teams, round robin format, College World Series. And so, first off, I don't know if he means 10 teams each, like NL, AL, or if he means 10 teams total. Like the top 10 teams make it. One plays the 10, two plays the 9, three plays the 8, four plays the 7, five plays the 6. And then you reseed after every round. So if the 1 seed wins, but let's say the 8 seed wins and 9 and 10 loses, so then 1 would then play 8 the next round. But it's double elimination. So he says if you lose, you play another loser. Oh, you play another loser. Yes, in a 1-game wild card. And if you lose the second time, you're out. If you win, you move on. And the last two remaining teams play in a 7-game World Series. So that's the normal part of it. It's a 7-game World Series, but leading up to it, it's a round-robin, double-elimination tournament. I hate it. I'm telling you right now, I hate it. Call me a traditionalist, I don't care. I hate it. And there is a lot of stuff about baseball that I want to change. And you guys know me. I am a huge, huge baseball guy. I want to cut the season down. There's some things I don't agree with. Playing 7 innings to me just is garbage. I'd rather play 9 innings no matter what. I don't like that pitched rule of, well, once you get into extra innings, you start with a runner on second base. Like, I hate that kind of stuff. But cutting the season back, I like. I do like the pitch clock, the game clock, but you have to make the time even shorter to try to speed things up. Because I feel like pitchers already take 20 seconds, and that's how long the clock is. If you cut it down to 10, you're definitely going to speed things up. I like the amount of mound visits you can make. I do like that, because that also speeds things up in the game. But then sometimes you're using the mound visit just to use it later in the game, which ends up slowing things down. I like the new rule that they are proposing, or that's going to happen, where a reliever has to face three batters. I think it's part garbage, because I like the strategic element that a manager has to have of, all right, there's a lefty and then a righty and then a lefty, so let me use my lefty specialist for the better of the two lefties. I'll bring in a righty, and then I'll bring in another lefty. And you have to be smart as a manager to know, all right, well, if I do that, then those first two guys are gone for the rest of the game, and it may only be the seventh inning. Like, that is a strategic element that will be lost. But you also have to be strategic in terms of looking at the numbers and say, all right, who's better to face these two lefties and this righty? Is it a right-handed pitcher that has good numbers against lefties, or is it, let's just go tradition, lefty on lefty, and let's just hope that he plays well against that right-handed batter? That is one of the new rules that, you know what, I don't hate. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. But this, to me, completely dirties up the game. And I know it's for only 1 year. I get it. It's only 1 year. But if it's only 1 year, I mean, what's the point? To me, you just stick with the regular 5-game series, 7-game series, and 7-game series. If you can still do it, then you're fine. Like, the point of changing things up, the point of the NBA potentially doing a 10-team playoff format in each conference, it's because you don't know what was going to happen the rest of the season, and that team that was the 10th seed in the West, that's only a game and a half out of the 8th seed, that's why you allow 10 teams, because you don't know what could have happened the rest of the regular season. You don't know if that 10 seed could have made a run and could have made it into the playoffs. That's why you do that. NHL, same thing. You go 12 teams from each conference. The reason being is because it was so close in the wild card. The wild card was just so damn close that you can't just end the season. You can't just end it as is. Because what if that team made a run in the last 10 games? So that's why you do that for the NHL. That's why you do it for the NBA. Because their seasons got cut short. The regular season for baseball just hasn't even started yet. So why even bother doing this weird round-robin tournament? If you want to extend the playoffs, so Bryce Harper pitches 135 regular season games. No, keep it at 80 like they proposed and extend the playoffs. Add two more teams. No bye weeks. I hate that. No byes in baseball. But do extend the playoffs by two teams. Take out the 1-game wild card for this year. Make it a 5-game series in the first round for all teams. And then move on from there. So I want to get your thoughts on this Bryce Harper pitch, because I have a poll up on at 975 The Fanatic, and it's about the round robin tournament. And I am in this huge minority here. Huge minority. 76%, Josh, say that they are cool with it for a year. This is now 2 weeks in a row where I'm like, wow, I am in the minority when we talk about something. So the question at 975 The Fanatic, Bryce Harper pitched a playoff format for this season in the MLB. This was discussed in the past as well, so we ask you, would you go for a double elimination round-robin tournament like the College World Series, or do you want to stay with the traditional 5-7-7-game series? Right? NLDS, NLCS, World Series. Only 13.9% say, no, I'm a traditionalist. 9.5% say, no, it's just dumb. 76.6% say, yes, for a year, why not? I guess I lean more traditionalist. I also lean dumb, because I don't like it. I like the College World Series. It's awesome. I love the College World Series, the round robin tournament. But it's just not the same. You don't do that for baseball, and I get it's just 1 year, but because their season hasn't been cut short in terms of the year has ended, like, right? NBA, NHL, midway through or at the end of the season, all of a sudden it's done, and they just want to quickly get back to the playoffs. Baseball just hasn't started yet. 610-632-0975. Let's go to the phones. Let's go to Rob in Westchester. Rob, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
How's it going this morning?
What's up, Rob?
Yeah, I just wanted to make a few key points on Brett Brown and what you said, because I think you hit the key point. Okay, since Brett Brown started his first week on the job, I've listened to him in his post-game press conferences and everything he's said. He's a brilliant speaker.
Yes.
When you hear him, you just feel good. You believe what he says. It's
he like captures you.
You know what I mean?
He captures you. He captured you during the process. When he literally said his own words that he was playing with gypsies on the court, he still captured you. The Sixers won 9 games one year, and you still listen to his press conferences.
Exactly. It's like a great leader's fireside chat. You have to scour the globe to find any coach, a head coach in any professional league that can speak like this guy does. You
right.
just trust what he says. When I hear him, I'm so motivated. I want to go out and run a 5K and go learn how to speak French. You know, when I listen to this guy every single time. He's so consistent with his speaking. He should be a governor or a president someday. I mean, this guy should go into politics someday.
But should he be an NBA coach?
No. So the question is, and that's why what you said was so, it hit me that at first you bought into it, and then as you thought over it, you realized if he's the right coach. And then we compare it to the whole age thing and Michael Jordan and the show, this great documentary that we're all watching, which blows my mind. I can't wait till tomorrow to see the next episode. But the bottom line is Michael Jordan did not win. It wasn't because of his age. It was because Phil Jackson went there and he threw out the playbook and he said, okay, Michael, you're not going to lead the league in scoring anymore. We're going to run the triangle offense. And then they won the 6 championships. Magic Johnson won a championship at age 20, 22, 24. You know, it's not so much age. It's getting Brett Brown to make these players do what they have to do. You've got to make Ben Simmons shoot a 10-foot shot, a 50-foot. These guys can't ignore. A head coach has to be able to have some control. I talked to Dee about this. I said, wouldn't the hockey coach with the Flyers sit this guy on the bench or stuff? Granted, you cannot sit these NBA superstars on the bench for more than probably a quarter, you know? In hockey, you got 4 lines going right. in and out. But you got to make these players do what they got to do to win. And you're not going to win if Ben Simmons is running around the court doing whatever he wants. He refuses to take a shot. It's not getting better. Ben Simmons could turn 50 years old. He's never going to win.
But then the problem is, if you're Brett Brown.
10, 15-foot shots. He's so great and talented, but he's got to change. And he's not changing. So
right, but if you're Brett Brown, you go, all right, so I bench him, and then I just know I lose.
Exactly. You can't bench him.
Yeah, exactly.
You got to thread the needle somehow. But he's responding to all these reporters and saying, oh, it's tough. I'm an all-star. I don't have to change. I'm an all-star. I don't have to shoot. He's shooting better foul shooting this year. He can do it. But he's got to take some of these 10-foot shots. Jason
yeah, no, he does.
Johnson can shoot.
He does, Rob.
Learn to shoot.
You're right.
He can't just run around and do whatever he wants. The inmates on the asylum here. Brett Brown's got to take control of that team if they're ever going to win.
All right, Rob, real quick, I want to ask you, if you heard the Bryce Harper playoff pitch, are you in for 1 year of a round-robin tournament in Major League Baseball?
I'm on the fence with it. I just want to see. I'm desperate to see any sport live. My take is that Bryce Harper endeared himself with Philadelphia last year because he stayed in his lane and he said all the right things and he hustled and we love that. Just stay in your lane, Bryce. You don't need to, you know, be the commissioner of baseball. I bet you're right. Someone put those words in his mouth because he's the face of baseball. It's so political and everything.
Yeah,
and
I mean, I don't care about that, Rob. And I don't care about that part. I'm just asking you. Do you like the idea? I don't care about politics and baseball. All right, 610-632-0975. Brian in the Northeast, you hang tight. I'm going to get Josh Rabick's thoughts on the other side about the round-robin tournament that Bryce Harper pitched and, of course, the Sixers conversation that we got going on right now. I'll replay the audio coming up at 10 o'clock from Brett Brown, the two cuts regarding this team being still built for the playoffs, always had been built for the playoffs, and, of course, the age cut regarding Jordan being 28 and how Simmons and Embiid, they're not there yet in age. 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
947, 97.5, The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas taking you until 12 o'clock right here on The Fanatic. Another thing, I have a lot going on today in terms of stuff for the show. We have the Sixers conversation regarding Brett Brown, and we'll play the audio again at 10 o'clock about how this team had always been built for the playoffs and is still built for the playoffs. And he really hopes that they get a chance to prove that. Now, to me, that final part, we really hope we get a chance to prove that, is him trying to send a message to the front office saying, hey, listen, I know my time is short here at this point, but I didn't get a chance to prove my belief on this team if the playoffs get cut short. If the playoffs come back, if the playoffs happen and they lose in the first round, then, you know, see you later. But we're talking about that. We're talking about the age thing. He also mentions the Jordan, LeBron, KD, all 28 years old when they won. Simmons is just 23, Embiid is just 26. Our caller, Rob, he mentioned something that I was thinking as well. I said it yesterday with Anthony. They also had new coaches. I mean, Durant goes to another team. LeBron goes to another team. Phil Jackson comes in for Michael Jordan and the Bulls. Simmons and Embiid, they're still with Brett. Is there a time when the new coach comes in and that new coach pushes them to the next level? Just like Phil Jackson pushed the Bulls to the next level, plus also the players that they brought in to go alongside Michael Jordan. Kevin Durant went to a new team and he joined a super team. And same with LeBron. But was it the coach? I don't know. We'll see. But that could be it for the Sixers. But the other thing I have prop bets for The Last Dance in front of me. And there are some that I go, wow, that's not the favorite? So I'll give those coming up as well. We have the game about that I'll start giving. So Josh, I'll start with you, the game. The game on Twitter is the teams are posting a logo, right? So the Sixers posted a specific logo. They have thousands of logos. And they posted the logo with the basketball underneath from the early 2000s. And the question was, who's the first player you think of when you see this logo? And for the most part, everybody says Allen Iverson. I also gave Kyle Korver and Rodney Carney. Now, we're on radio, so I can't show you a logo to the callers. I could show Josh. But Josh, I'm going to do it differently. I'm going to say, when I say early 2000s Phillies, early 2000s, like 2000, 2001, 2002, not 08, who's the first Philly that comes to your mind?
Early 2000s Phillies?
Yes.
Oh.
First Philly that comes to your mind.
Probably Scott Rolen.
That's a good answer. See, I go Doug Glanville. I don't know why. I love Doug
Glanville. He was a leadoff hitter. It's probably the first thing you saw.
You're probably right. When I was a kid, I loved Doug Glanville because he was fast. And I was like, wow, that guy's great. You know, I hit like 240. But he hit a home run once when I was there. And I was like, that guy is good.
He welcomed Schilling back in style, too.
Yes, he did. I was like, that guy is a great baseball player because he hit a home run when I was there. Robert Person hit two when I was there. He was the best hitting pitcher ever, in my opinion, because I saw it in person. So we're going to play that game as well throughout the show. The number to get in, 610-632-0975. But Josh, the main topics of the day, the Brett Brown conversation. How do you feel? Like, I don't want to mention this guy's name, but there's a specific song. My mind's telling me no, my body's telling me yes. I don't want to quote that man because he's a disgusting human being. But that's kind of how I feel. It's like, all right, my mind's telling me no, Brett Brown doesn't have this figured out. But when he says it, my heart is like, yeah, Brett, you're right. Let's go. Bring the NBA back. You're going to win a championship.
It's easy over time to forget how we thought about this team at the time when they were playing. You get time off. He speaks. And like you said, he presents really well, extremely nice.
First time he spoke in a one-on-one interview. I think he had another Zoom conference call. But it was the first time one-on-one interview in the last 2 months.
Right, and you want to believe him. The problem is I go back and all you can think is he was so slow to adjust to everything. Oh, yeah. Whether it's having Horford come off the bench, whether it's the long runs without a timeout, which anybody who watches college basketball or the NBA know, you gotta stop those runs instead of letting those players play it out. That's part of coaching. But it's just the slowness to adjustments and him talking like he's a football coach, having all this time to break down tape. Basketball is so much more of a free-flowing game,
yep.
And I need you to adjust on the spot better. And so far, he's proven to me that he's slower to adjust on the spot.
Right. So that's, I mean, Anthony and I had such a barroom conversation during the week, and it was, all right, if Brett Brown wins the NBA Finals this year, like with the two-month layoff, like, how do you feel about Brett now? And I go,
he's the man.
I go, well, I said, Sixers won. But I think it was kind of because he had 2 months to try to figure this out. Whereas any other year, you don't have 2 months. Now, every other team has 2 months. But that's why I look at this. Whoever wins the title this year, I think it's kind of bogus. Because what if the Nets win? Because Kevin Durant's back. And you go, all right, well, hey, good for them. They had Kevin Durant. I go, yeah, but they weren't supposed to. They were supposed to be a first round, probably get swept in the first round as a seventh seed. But now Kevin Durant's here, so what if they end up winning?
And can I also point this out? When he mentions the age, it actually scares me when he mentions Embiid's age and Simmons' age. It's almost the reverse of pretty much of Kareem and Magic. Like when you think about, it was the perfect time for them based on the limited shelf life that we've ended up finding out about Magic, that their age gap worked out perfectly for them and the way that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar adjusted his game. Whereas we look at Embiid and we know he has a limited amount of miles on those legs, but Ben, later on in his career, we know he's going to develop some type of shot eventually, that you almost wish their ages were in reverse.
If I were to put my money down, I would say more likely for the Sixers to win the NBA championship when Embiid turns 28 and Simmons is still 25. You mentioned Magic and Kareem. Kareem was already a proven superstar in the NBA. Right? Oh, it was already great with the Milwaukee Bucks, goes to L.A., now you pair him up with Magic Johnson. That's why Magic Johnson won at the age of 22, because he had Kareem. Tim Duncan wins early, because he had the Admiral with him, right? Like, you know, that's why Tim Duncan won so early in his career, because he already had a star with him. Jordan didn't win until he was 28 because he didn't have any help around him. LeBron didn't win until he was 28 because he goes to Miami and teams up with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh and company. Kevin Durant didn't win until he was 28 because he goes to Golden State and forms one of the greatest superstar teams in NBA history. So, Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid, they're already two stars. They're not superstars yet, but they're stars already. And Embiid in 2 years is 28. Simmons is now 25, and we hope that he has a jump shot by the time he's 25. Not a three-point jump shot, but at least a 12-footer. And the other young guys like Matisse Thybulle, because remember, they've been trading away. They trade away Shamet. You got Tobias Harris out of it, but you're trading away all these players. So instead of trading away all these players, you start building with some of these young guys. That's why I did not want to trade Matisse Thybulle. There were talks about it, but I did not want to trade Matisse Thybulle. Because at some point, you need to groom some of these younger players. So it makes sense that in 2 years, if we want to stick with the 28 thing, and B turns 28, he's now a superstar in the league, hopefully. Simmons is developing into a superstar. Now you have two superstars on your team. And you still have Tobias Harris. Al Horford might be cooked at that point, but now all of a sudden you have, I guess you could say, a big three if Tobias Harris takes that next step, which still scares me. I did not like the move to begin with to give him the max contract. I wanted Jimmy Butler. I know there was issues, yada, yada, yada. I still think they win more with Jimmy Butler. But hey, that's beside the point. Hopefully Tobias Harris develops more into a leader and not just a guy that was the leading scorer on a bunch of bad teams before he came to Philadelphia. All right, 610-632-0975, I apologize. We got 25 minutes of commercial-free radio coming up. Josh, I'm going to get your thoughts on the playoff format that Bryce Harper pitched last night. Because I'm out on it. I'm out on a round-robin tournament. I don't want to junk up the sport of baseball. I get it's just 1 year. But you're not trying to just completely fit in the playoffs. NBA and NHL are trying to fit in the playoffs. Major League Baseball has yet to start. So why are you trying to force something? Force a shortened season. You have to. But don't start giving me round-robin tournaments. However, the majority of people voting on the poll today, which I'll update on the other side, are all for it. I don't get it. 610-632-0975. We'll also play the audio from Brett Brown coming up so you guys get a better understanding as to what we're talking about today. Brian in the Northeast, you hang tight. Again, open line 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking you until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
101-97.5 The Fanatic. Andrew Salchunas taking you until noon. All right, welcome if you're just joining us. We have a lot going on today. Honestly, I came in here with like one focus, and all of a sudden I'm like, oh yeah, and I have this. Oh, and I have this. Oh, look at this Bryce Harper thing. Let me talk about all of it today. So let me reset the entire show. We got wide open lines, 25 minutes of commercial-free radio right now, 610-632-0975. We have a Sixers topic on the table. We have a Phillies, well, not Phillies, but Major League Baseball topic on the table because of a playoff format that Bryce Harper pitched on Instagram yesterday. We have the game that's going on right now on Twitter. When you see the logo, who is the first player that you think of? So because it's radio, I will give you an era. So I gave Josh Rabick, early 2000 Phillies, who's the first player you think of? And his first player was Scott Rowland. I gave you Doug Glanville. And I don't know why. I don't know why. And I tried, like, Jimmy Rollins played in 2000. He played in 2001 was his rookie year, or was his debut season. So, like, Jimmy Rollins fits that mold, but I didn't want to give you Jimmy Rollins. I also don't want to give you Utley. I don't want to give you Howard. I want to give you something else. So I gave you Doug Glanville. And I don't know why, but that's the first player I think of. So I'll give you an era. I'll give you a team. I'll go outside of Philadelphia, too. Like, Josh, if I go early 2000s Dallas Cowboys, who's the first player that you think of? Like, I think of Romo, but I'm also trying to think, like, what years he actually played.
Yeah, I think he was more like that 2005-ish.
Like, I'll give you, if he is 2000s, Quincy Carter. Because I don't know why Quincy Carter is like the first. Yeah, 2001 through 2004.
Was Larry Allen still playing?
That's a good question. Let me see.
Because I kind of mix up sometimes like late 90s into early 2000s.
Yeah, I mean that's easy to mix up. Let's see. Larry Allen. Does not, because he's a lineman, you don't really get a football reference page on him. Let me try to find this for you. Yeah, he was still around playing 2000, so you got that one right. So that's a good one. So I'll go outside of Philadelphia too. I'm going to give you just random team, random era. You got to give me the first player that comes to your mind. But let's start with the main topic, which is the Sixers. And Brett Brown was on with Anthony yesterday on Cuz Radio. He joined the show right around 1 o'clock yesterday, and it was a fascinating interview because it's the first time you hear from Brett in 2 months. And I will continue to say this. Brett Brown, very nice man. Brett Brown, genius. High IQ when it comes to speaking. As a coach, I don't know. We'll see. I think we already know. But when it comes to speaking, like, he captures me. He's one of those guys where whether the Sixers have 9 wins or whether the Sixers have 50 wins, I want to hear his post-game press conference. Because just the way he speaks, it captures you. And I know there are some people that for some reason, this is stupid, but for some reason, I don't like him because of his accent. Oh, shut up. Accent or no accent, the words he uses, the dialect, he captures you. So yesterday, I was captured by this interview to the point where when he said certain things, I was like banging my fists on the table like, yeah, Brett, let's go. And then I remembered that literally on Thursday we did the show about the Sixers and if they came back and they won the championship would be bogus, yada, yada, yada. I still say, yeah, I don't think Brett figured this out. Even with the 2 month hiatus, I don't think they're winning anything. I don't think he's a good head coach. And then I feel bad for saying that stuff because I then hear Brett speak. But we'll start off with the first cut, that he's not wrong when he says this, because I can see it with my eyes. I can envision how this thing works with the roster that they currently have. Even with the bad bench, I can see how it works with the roster that they have. And Brett Brown talked about, not only from the very beginning, but still to this day on May 16th, that the Sixers, the 2019-2020 Sixers, are built for the playoffs.
I completely agree, and I don't think we've ever pivoted once from that notion. Like, this team, and something, and maybe I got myself in trouble, you know, just back when. It's like, I said it, and I'll say it again. Like, the team is built for the playoffs. And it doesn't, you know, lob out excuses of what can happen up until then. Like, none of us have taken our eye off the ball because of that comment and belief that I have. And there is an element of reality where, how do you peak? You know, how do you land the plane? And I feel like we were doing this. There's a lot of possible benefits, like the time frame off might have helped Ben Simmons, you know, get back to, you know, normality, get back to a greater level of health, or, you know, time off could have helped Joel. I still, in a perfect world, would want to coach a team for as long as you can to develop continuity and familiarity. We didn't get that this year. But I feel, to your original point, like, the team is designed for the playoffs. We all hope very, very much that we get a chance to prove that.
All right, so he hopes he gets a chance to prove it, not just to the fans, but to the front office. I will continue to say that. He ends that statement by saying, I hope we get a chance to prove that, because he wants to show Elton Brand, Josh Harris and company, yes, I can make this work. We will find a way to win. But there's a lot of other stuff in there, and he's not wrong. He is not wrong to say that this team is built for the playoffs. From the very beginning, he's not wrong in saying that. Because when you sit back and you think about NBA playoffs, you think about defense. You think about sort of maintaining momentum. You think about slowing things down. You think about half-court basketball. That's why, to me, the Houston Rockets with James Harden and Russell Westbrook will never win an NBA championship. Because they're just too up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. And I just don't see them winning an NBA championship, because I don't see them going deep into the playoffs. Maybe they beat a team, like, if they're the second seed, maybe they beat the seventh seed just based off of sheer talent alone. But once it gets deeper into the playoffs and they have to play a team like the Clippers or the Lakers, I don't see the Houston Rockets winning, because they're too up and down, up and down, up and down. Whereas the Sixers do have the build of what could be a half-court basketball team. And they obviously have the build of being able to play defense. Josh Richardson being your smallest player on the floor in that starting five and is a good defender. Ben Simmons, great defender, could win Defensive Player of the Year this year. Joel Embiid, we know what he can do on defense when he is into the game. Al Horford, veteran, we know what he can do on defense. There were points last year where he just looked lost. And there were points last year, or this, not last year, but, you know, this past season, where he just looked old. And he was getting beat. He wasn't boxing out. People were getting past him. People were grabbing rebounds past him. Offensive rebounds. They gave up so many offensive rebounds last year. I need to see where the Sixers ranked in terms of offensive rebounds allowed, because I'm sure they were pretty high up there. Because I just feel like Al Horford was getting beat 2-3 times a game. But they have the mold of being a very good defensive team, and they have the mold of being able to play in a half-court setting. If Al Horford is off the court, right, he's coming off the bench, you can run something where Josh Richardson or Tobias Harris have the ball, and Ben Simmons is on one block and Embiid's on the other block. You can run a pick-and-roll with Ben Simmons. You can run a pick-and-roll with Joel Embiid, as long as Josh Richardson or Tobias Harris are the guys bringing the ball up the court. You know, who's the guy that hits the three for you? Is it Furkan Korkmaz? Does he turn into some lights-out three-point shooter in the playoffs like he did at some points during the regular season? I don't know. I don't think so. We saw him come up very small in very big games. It'll be nice to have that three-point shooter. J.J. Redick, you son of a... It would be nice to have that three-point shooter. But you can see where it works. And you can see how it makes sense. So Brett Brown's not wrong to say they are built for the playoffs. What Brett Brown is wrong in saying from the very beginning was also that they were a one seed. And when they finish in the sixth seed, that's what gets him in trouble. You just heard the cut. He said, maybe I got in trouble from the beginning for saying that this team is built for the playoffs. No, he's not wrong. Or he's not getting himself in trouble. Because I agree with him. What got him in trouble was saying that they were a one seed. What got him in trouble was saying, I'll have this figured out by the end of the calendar year in the months of November, December of the season. And he didn't. He didn't have it figured out. Give me continuity all you want. Give me, I only had my starters 19 times out of 65 games. Well, a lot of times you at least had four of the five. And there's a lot of money invested in those other four starters. And there's a lot of talent in those other four starters. To me, even though Joel Embiid leaves a huge hole, the biggest one to me is Ben Simmons because of the stuff that he can do on both ends of the court and the way he handles the offense. But regardless, when you have four-fifths of that starting lineup, you should still win. And you shouldn't be so terrible on the road. So when he says all this stuff, yes, it captures me. It brings me in. I get excited. I go, yeah, you're right. You know what? You could do this. But then I stop and I think about it and I go, there's no way. He never figured out during the regular season. He didn't figure it out in November. He didn't figure it out by the end of the calendar year like he said. He didn't figure it out in January. He didn't figure it out in February. It looked like he figured it out at the All-Star break, but unfortunately Ben Simmons gets hurt and then we don't know what happens. But I don't have the confidence to say, well, they would have continued to roll. They would have been great. I don't have that confidence. The bench isn't deep enough. I just don't think that this team can win or would have won. But again, he's not wrong saying the stuff that he said about built for the playoffs. So I want to get your thoughts on that. 610-632-0975. Like, are you kind of with me where your heart says, yeah, you know what, Brett, you're right. But your mind is more so, yeah, when I think about it, I just remember how frustrated I was day in, day out with the Sixers team, especially when they lose to the Hawks or the Cavaliers or the Wizards. Right? When you think about it, you're like, oh my God, this team just wasn't going to win anything this year. But is the message enough for you to say, you know what? Bring back the playoffs. Sixers are going to roll. Here we go. I don't believe it. So we got that on the table. 610-632-0975. The other thing is the age discussion. And the age discussion is the idea, the fact. It's a fact that Michael Jordan didn't win until he was 28. That LeBron James didn't win until he was 28. And Kevin Durant didn't win until he was 28. And Joel Embiid is 26 and Ben Simmons is 23. So take a listen to this cut. This is the age conversation that I also want to have and whether or not you are totally buying in.
I think the thing that I'm always reminded of is you look at LeBron, Michael Jordan, Kevin Durant. You know, they won their first championship at 28. And, you know, Ben's 23 and Joel's 27 and there's not, again, you know, driven to make any concession or excuse, but there's a reality that this stuff at times takes time. We could all think back, like maybe you could have done something last year if the ball bounces a different way. And what really will it look like if we can play this year? Our goal is still to contest for a title. That's the bottom line.
Again, he's not wrong. He's not wrong. It took some of the best players in NBA history until the age of 28 to win. But they also got new coaches. Michael Jordan got a new coach in Chicago. LeBron James got a new coach when he also teamed up with a super team in Miami. Kevin Durant got a new coach when he teamed up with a super team in Golden State. But regardless, they all got new coaches. And Ben Simmons, they're still young. They are. And Brett Brown's not wrong with saying that. It is a fact that it took some of the stars until the age of 28 to win. But there's two of them on this team, Simmons and Embiid. And they have put in a lot of money into the players to go around them. That I'm sure he was a part of the conversation with to bring in Al Horford, to bring in Tobias Harris, to a max contract. And here we are, you know, you hear stories from, I don't know. It's their personal bias, but J.J. Redick, Jimmy Butler, remember that podcast that came out a couple months ago? Right before the world halted, really, because I heard it at the Blue Coats facility. in Delaware. Me and Anthony did the show there. And, you know, they were kind of bashing at Brett Brown. And they didn't say that's the reason why they didn't go back, but you hear it and you go, yeah, that says something. So when you hear those two highlights, those two cuts, excuse me, what goes through your mind? Are you kind of like me where your heart says, you know what, Brett's right, let's give him another shot? But your mindset, when you sit back, you go, wow, this just wasn't working? Because that's where I'm at. I'm ready to move on, quite frankly. I'm ready to move on, unless they win a title in this playoff format, whenever that happens. But I'm ready to move on. But when you hear that man speak, you get captured. 610-632-0975. The other thing, and we'll get to John Hazleton in a second. Bryce Harper pitched a playoff format yesterday. Now, Josh, I didn't get your thoughts on this yet, so I want to get them. On his Instagram, he posted his ideas, and quite frankly, because of how drawn out they were and because of how much there was, I feel like he's hearing this from someone. Like Trevor Plouffe he's doing a podcast during his, I think he might have been doing it before this all started, but because the world's halted, Trevor Plouffe is like, all right, let me do this on a more consistent basis. I'm not playing baseball 6 days a week. I can do this podcast, on a regular basis. And Trevor Plouffe put out that report about how July 1st is the start of the new season. Now, Bob Nightingale had it before him. Jeff Passan had it before him. But all of a sudden, people start going, oh, well, Trevor Plouffe is a player, so maybe he's hearing something. To me, Bryce Harper, this Instagram post that he put out last night regarding this new playoff format and the idea of a regular season, there's a lot to it. So I think he didn't just think that out. I think somebody told him something. Now, part of it was a 135-game regular season this year. Not moving forward, not starting next year. Like, this year, still play 135 games. To me, that's impossible. That's just way too much. It's already May 16th. We're talking about getting back in July. How are you going to play 135 games? You can't. But the playoff format is interesting because this also was reported a while back. And now Bryce Harper is giving this out there, I'm sure hearing it from someone. Instead of the traditional 5-game series in the NLDS, ALDS, and then the 7-game series in the championship series, and then the World Series, he's saying, what about a double elimination round robin tournament, just like the College World Series? But then you still do a World Series and it's still a 7-game series. Now, he mentioned that it would be a 10-team round robin tournament. I don't know if that means 10 best teams. I don't know if that means 5 best from one conference, 5 best from the other. National League, American League. I don't know if they're even going to have these divisions. I don't know what they're going to do. This is still all up in the air. Maybe it is just 10 best teams. And he says you play in one location. He mentioned Texas. He also mentioned Vegas, his hometown. So you do the round robin tournament, double elimination. If you lose, you face another team that loses. It's kind of like the 1-game wild card playoff. If you lose that second game, you're out. So it's better for the people that hate the 1-game playoff. It's better because now you at least have 2 chances or 2 losses. But for me, who's just a traditionalist, and because the season hasn't been cut short, the season just hasn't started yet, what's the point of trying to rush a playoff? Still do the normal 5-7-7, in my opinion. Why would you try to rush a playoff when you haven't even started the season yet? NBA, NHL are trying to add more teams. They're trying to rush things because it's already May. And if they want to hope to start the season on time next year or December, you got to get things done. Whereas the MLB, you're still, it's May 16th. Just cut the season down and do the playoffs as normal. If anything, extend the playoffs. Give more teams, but keep it at a 5-7-7 game series. But Bryce Harper pitches this round robin tournament. And the poll on at 975 The Fanatic is astonishing. 78.2% say for a year, why not? 12.4% say no, I'm a traditionalist. 9.4% say no, it's just dumb. I vote for both no's because I think it's dumb and I'm a traditionalist. But I think I lean more so it's just dumb. Josh, your thoughts on this round robin tournament in baseball?
Okay, so first off, this is one of those proposals where we get things from callers all the time where it's just a little too complex. Everything's thrown about that. I think it affects the casual fan.
Yes.
So the seven innings, the specific days off, but then the double headers, it's just a little too just like convoluted for me. And then once you get into like the college baseball type of playoff format, the lose, but you're not out, you kind of go into a loser's bracket, like the wild card type of deal. I think that's a little too complex for the casual fan because baseball has a lot of people who use it as background noise.
Yeah.
And then they watch during the big moments and they really pay attention. It would be difficult to explain to somebody after the Phillies, say, lose a series that, okay, they lost the series, it's the playoffs, but they're still in it.
Right.
And it just becomes a little too messy, in my opinion. And because of that, like the NFL, once a week, you can tune in on Sundays and you can be a casual who turns into a diehard because you're tuning in once a
right.
week. I think with baseball, when you kind of throw that all together with the playoff rules and everything, I think that really impacts your casual fan base, which overall kind of shows the sport's success.
But here's the thing. The casual fan, I think, would love it. That's why the poll is almost 80% for a year. Why not? Because I think the casual fan goes, baseball's too long. And a seven-game series is too long. Even though it's a seven-game series in NBA, it's a seven-game series in the NHL, I think they go, well, baseball, the game itself is too long. If it's a one-game elimination, pretty much, or two-game elimination, but you're facing different teams nonstop, I think the casual fan likes it.
I don't think that's the casual fan answer in that poll, though. I mean, let's just be real with who follows the 97.5 The Fanatic account. I think that's the diehard fan. You're seeing what the diehard fan likes about it because it's following a diehard fan type of theme with college baseball. The most diehard people here, you, Tyler Zuli, guys like that, follow the College World Series pretty heavily, and I think that fits into more of the diehard.
Yeah, but I'm a diehard, and I don't
correct.
I don't want it. I don't want the round robin.
Well, right. I think you're an outlier to a lot of them, but I think there's a lot of people who follow like the College World Series who likes that format who would like to see that for 1 year.
All right, so here's where I say you're wrong with the whole the people voting on the poll. Because I will go back to, let's see, what date is this? I'm on at 975 middays, the great Twitter account of Cuz Radio. And I go back to, where are we? May 12th. Here's the question, Josh. We would be 6 weeks into the MLB season right now. We want to ask you, have you been able to live without it? And can you continue to live without it? 51% said, I need baseball back. But 49% said, I'm okay with the year off.
And how long ago was that?
This was 4 days ago, May 12th.
Okay.
So, I don't know if it's diehards vote. I think it's people voting, yeah, sure, for a year. Why not? Let me see how it goes. Maybe I'm more interested in baseball. Maybe it means more to get a higher seed in baseball, right? Like, it means more to, just like we're talking about in football now. The one seed, this is why I love the new playoff format. Now only one team gets a bye. That means it means more, so much more to be the one seed. If you're the two seed, you don't get that first round bye anymore. So maybe it means more the regular season. I'm in more because not only, I'm not just happy if you squeak into the wild card anymore. Now I need you to be a top three team.
Where I'm going is though you're adding an extra component to this, which makes you have to invest more into what's going on. And I think that's where that impacts the casual.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I do. But I honestly think the casual fan goes, all right, you know what? There is more reason for me to watch and pay attention now because of the double elimination, round robin tournament. It's something different. Baseball needs to spice things up. And I go, nah, I don't think you need to spice up the playoffs. I think you just need to spice up the regular season. How do you do that is another question. And that's why I think it's just dumb that Bryce Harper pitches a 135-game regular season. Not next year. If you want to go 135 from here on out, fine. But for this year, when it's already May 16th, no. This season is just going to get so drawn out again. We don't need that. All right, we got a couple open lines, 610-632-0975. John and Steve, you guys hang tight. 610-632-0975. We're continuing to talk about the Sixers conversation. Brett Brown says he hopes he can prove that this team is built for the playoffs. For the man himself, yes, I hope he gets a chance to prove it. For the coach, I go, I don't think it really matters. I don't think you're going to win. So I don't think I really buy into it. The season comes to an end. You're done. I'm sorry. And if the season does come back, I don't think you win anything, quite frankly. And I'm sorry to say that. Sorry that I'm stubborn. I'm not moving on from that stance. Prove me wrong, I guess. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you until noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. On this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful Saturday morning, this weekend's programming is brought to you by Wawa. Get your Wawa favorites delivered right to your door with Wawa Delivery. Head to DoorDash.com or download the DoorDash app. Order Wawa Delivery today. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. I'm still kind of like shocked by the amount of people that are cool with this round robin tournament. And here's one thing I'll say to you. I believe with all the craziness that's happening in the world, let me take a step back. Before the craziness that happened in the world, I looked at the Phillies roster and I said, I don't think they win. I don't think they make it to the playoffs. I still had the Braves of the Nationals winning the NL East, one of those two teams finishing second, and the Phillies would fight with the Mets to finish in third. And if you're fighting with the Mets to finish third, that means the Braves or Nationals already have a wild card spot because they're both playoff teams. So you're now fighting with the Mets, but not only the Mets, every other team in the National League to get that second wild card spot. Now, things could have gone well for the Phillies. They were going to be a better team this year, in my opinion. Zach Wheeler, you now have two legitimate starting pitchers. And Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler. If Arrieta gives you an 8-8 season in 20-plus starts, you go, all right, let's go. You know, as a number three, you eventually bring in another starter at the deadline, and then you just hope that whoever is the fourth or fifth starter, one would be Eflin, I'm guessing the other would be Pivetta, and Velasquez would be in the bullpen. You hope that those guys improve a little bit. Eflin, I think, could take a slight step forward. Pivetta, if you know the Pivetta hype train is real, just like last year, right? I've never been on the Pivetta hype train. I've been watching it. I've just been staring at it go by, round and round the same circle of disappointment. I've never been on that disappointment hype train. But, you know, he has the stuff. He has the fastball. Apparently picked up a changeup. If he finds his spots, you know, maybe he turns into something. But I didn't have this team making it to the playoffs. But because of how crazy the world is, I'm not going to rule anything out. I won't rule out that they could make the playoffs. They still have Bryce Harper. They still have JT Realmuto. They have two competent starters in their rotation of five. You know, Rhys Hoskins, does he have a bounce back year? McCutcheon's back, but what is he? Kingery's an everyday second baseman. Gene Segura is at third base. Didi Gregorius is at shortstop. All of a sudden, you go, all right, you can get excited about this team. Not fired up, but you can get some excitement. So in a shortened season, and you look at the last 2 years for the Phillies, they've actually started off pretty well, and then they end up falling apart because they get exposed because they're not that great of a baseball team. But if the season's only 80 games, maybe, just maybe, they're still in first place after those 80 games, and they make the playoffs. Or maybe they're in second place, and they get the wild card spot. But let me say this to the people that are all on board about the double elimination round robin tournament. And Josh, let me ask you, because I don't know exactly which way you're going. Are you in on the round robin tournament, or do you want the traditional five game series 7-7? You made the case for people wanting it, but what do you specifically want?
No, I'm saying I don't want it.
You don't want it. Okay. But
no, I think it makes it simpler. It's kind of the format we're used to. And I mean, it just makes a lot more sense instead of having a team lose, go down into another bracket.
Okay. So then let me ask this for the people who do want it, because there's 78% of the people voting. And Josh, I want you to weigh in on this. How do you think people will feel if the Phillies win the division in an 80 game regular season and they lose two games and they're done?
They would be outraged.
Yeah, they're going to say, wow, this was so dumb. Now, I like the one-game wild-card playoff, but I think I like the one-game wild-card playoff because I've never felt the anxiety of the Phillies being one of those wild-card teams. Remember, they implemented that one-game wild-card playoff, I think around 2013 or 2014. I was in college because I remember watching Pirates Cubs with Arrieta on the mound at Maxie's Bar on campus. I remember watching that. And I also watched the Astros in a one-game playoff at the Draft Tours, also on campus. See? I did not have cable, so I had to, you know, go places to watch sporting events sometimes. So I like the one-game playoff because I look at the strategic element of it. You have to think, all right, do I go with my ace because, you know, he's the guy that's going to get me the win, or do I go with my two or three starter because if we win, we're starting the next series right away, and I will now have my number two starter go up against their ace, so we're already in a hole. And you have to hope that that number two starter pitches very well. But because the Phillies have never been affected by this one-game playoff, because they've never even been good to make the playoffs, I never had to feel that anxiety.
It would probably be different also if you're the first wild card team because of how the rules were some years ago. But then it also plays into the, well, some years ago there wasn't that second wild card team. So if your team makes it there, and also you didn't win the division, you have another chance essentially to move forward, and you didn't win your division.
Right. It's like, remember a couple years ago, the AL East, the Red Sox and Yankees, they both won 90-plus games. And the Yankees, I think, they didn't win the division. The Red Sox won the division. So the Yankees are playing in a one-game playoff with like 95 wins. And they ended up winning, but I remember the conversation leading up to it was, this is so stupid. The Yankees won 95 games, and their season is on the line with this one game now. They're not playing in a five-game NLDS series. They're playing in a one-game series. What if a fluke loss? How many fluke losses do you see? Every once in a while, the ace on the staff gets beat up. It just happens. So what if it happened in this one-game playoff after my team just won 95 games? I remember that being the conversation leading up to that game. So for the Phillies' sake, what if they win the division this year? And people are all on board with this round-robin tournament. And let's say they're the third seed. So they're playing the seventh seed would be the math. 110, 29, 38. Sorry, they'd be playing the eighth seed. Fluke loss. And now you're reseeded. You have to face all the other teams that lost in round one. And now you're one loss away from elimination. But they just had a good season. I guarantee you Phillies fans will not be happy with that playoff format anymore. They would look back at this poll and go, oh, I wish I voted no. 610-632-0975. So I want to talk about that as well. But the Sixers conversation is well on the table. Brett Brown, all the good things that he says, are you buying in? Let's go to John in Hazleton. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Good morning, Chuna.
Hey, John.
I'll mention some stuff about the Phillies later, but I'm burned up with this Brett Brown stuff. Are you kidding me? I hear him talk, I want to puke. This is the salesman trying to sell you a bill of goods, and he can't sell anything. What? Oh, LeBron won when he was 28. Jordan, so Ben Simmons is 23, so we got to keep you loser, around for another 5 years and look at your pathetic everything. This guy, Junison, I agree with you. He has to go. He should have been gone 2-3 years ago. This guy cannot coach a team, and he wants to talk built for the playoffs. What's built for the playoffs? His defense. You look it up, Chunas. I'm not too sure, but I know how many times I was watching the Sixers with a 20-point lead, a 24-point lead, a 28-point lead, turn around and lose the game. And guess what Brett Brown does? He walks off the court at the end of the game with all of his timeouts in his pocket because I guess he thinks he could save them for the next game. Would never call a timeout, just let the team do what they have to. And his excuses about, well, I didn't have my starting team and they hardly played. Give me a break. Are you kidding me? LeBron James, and I can't stand him, and I can't stand the Lakers, went to the Lakers this year with a brand new whole team roster, a brand new coach, and they're in first place. Yeah. How are they doing it? And Brett Brown can't with his supposed superstar.
Well, they also had LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who are veterans in the league, whereas Ben's like John, it's not total.
I agree with you there, Chunas.
It's not total BS to say, wow, Ben is only 23 and Joel's only 26, and those guys won. They were 28. Now you're not. I'm not saying you have to wait 5 more years. Embiid needs to get maybe 2 years older. If we're following that sort of method, once Embiid turns 28, now all of a sudden you're a legit contender for the title. I'm not saying Brett Brown has to stay until Embiid's 28, but he's not wrong when he says that. It is factually correct that Michael Jordan did not win until he was 28, and that LeBron James didn't win until he was 28. But the thing is, Jordan is Michael Jordan. He got some players around him. LeBron James joined a super team. Kevin Durant joined a super team. Whereas Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are already stars, and we're talking about them being superstars someday down the road. That's why the 28 thing, yes, it's factually correct, but I don't know. You already have a pretty good roster, and you've had 3 years now. I get it. It's a new starting five every single year, but you've had a couple years now to figure out Embiid and Simmons.
That's right. And if you're a good coach, Junis, you make the adjustments. He can't make the adjustments. How old was Kobe when he won his first title?
That's a good question, but he also had Shaq. So, I mean, there is...
True, but he was still a young person. Hey, look, they were just showing on the Last Dance. What was he, 19, and he was an All-Star already?
Ben Simmons was an All-Star pretty early.
True. Very true. But it's showing that, hey, I'm an All-Star. I'm already here. And before, you know, I think 2 years later, Kobe had a title already when he was like 22. I could be wrong. For some reason, I'm thinking that. But I'm just trying to say, Junis, is Brett Brown had his chances. This guy, it's done. It's just like what you're saying there about the Phillies. You know what? And I believe this in my heart. That's why I don't even want to talk about it because it's only going to fire me up because I love the Phillies.
Kobe was 22, but he also had Shaq.
Correct.
Who Shaq at the time was, let's see, 2000, 2001, he was 28. So there you go. There's the 28 thing again.
Yep. I mean, and you know, I love the Phillies, but in my heart, and I believe this. You want to talk to Phillies? I would love to see him play, but in a way, I don't, because I'm going to tell you something. Klentak and McPhail are going to undermine the Phillies to make them look bad, to turn around and say, guess what? We should have kept Crapler. See, and they haven't got
Dozier. They're not going to, because if they do that, Klentak doesn't have a job.
Well, good. That would be the best thing.
So you want that to happen. You want them to undermine Girardi.
Yes, because Joe Girardi, we already know. Hey, like how many times, and the Cuz even said, they had a chance to get Mookie Betts. They didn't. They had a chance to do this. They didn't. And you know what, Jones? In my heart, I believe it. Even though he says he wants a player, I think Real Muto's going.
And I'm very scared about that, John. I'll talk about that coming up. Now, real quick, I got to go, but are you in on the round-robin tournament or the traditional baseball format for one year?
Traditional.
All right, me too. Thank you, John. John's a great baseball guy, so I want to get his thoughts. 610-632-0975. Now, Stephen Chalfont's on the line. He says...
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
So I have some tweets to read regarding this potential playoff format that Bryce Harper pitched, even though I'm sure he was told by someone to put out there on Instagram because he's one of the faces of baseball. So if you're a league executive, you go, hey, Bryce, a lot of people agree with you, but you're also getting ripped by a lot of people for your stance agreeing with Blake Snell. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to try to make people forget about what you said. We're going to give you this idea. And we want you to pitch it. And we're going to read the comments and see what people say. And if people are on board, hey, that might be our idea. I mean, that's what I believe. I'm not saying I know anything, but, you know, when you're in this industry, you get an idea of how things are run. And sometimes they use star players to throw things out there. And you see what people are saying. Bryce Harper's not going to get ripped for it. People might say this is stupid, but are they going to rip him for it? You're an idiot. So Bryce Harper throws out this idea of a potential round-robin tournament like the College World Series for just this year. Not moving forward, but for just this year because of how everything's being handled or because of everything that's going on in the world. Excuse me. Now, I'm not on board because I say NBA, NHL, their seasons got cut short. So they want to try to get to the playoffs right away and just go through it. Whereas baseball, they actually had the luxury of not starting on time. And once they start, you could still play X amount of games and get to the playoffs and still go business as usual. You want to stick with the one-game wildcard playoff? Go for it. The winner of that then plays the top seed in the NLCS, or NLDS, excuse me. The other two teams also play in the NLDS. The winner moves on to the NLCS. The winner goes to the World Series and faces the team from the American League that just did the same thing. That's why I go, you don't need to change things. You don't need to change a playoff format when you haven't even started your season. But I will look at it from the other side, and I want to read some tweets that are, you know, that were in response to the poll. And again, 78% are saying yes, they'll do it for a year. Mr. Citywide tweets in, every season is now out the window. Let's have fun with it. So he's on board. He also mentioned that he would like the NBA to return and do it like the NCAA tournament. One game, you're out. I can't do that. Player, I can't do one game, you're out in NBA, NHL, or baseball. Now, in the NBA, yeah, I guess you can make the case because the one seed is going to be the eight seed. Now, last year, remember, the Sixers lost the first game against the Nets. The Raptors, people, I think, forget about this, actually lost their first game against the Orlando Magic in the first round. So that means the Raptors would be out of it, led by Kawhi Leonard. So, I don't know. I don't think you can do that because the problem is you start going deeper into the tournament. If the Lakers and Clippers are out of it after just one game, and, you know, now all of a sudden coming out of the Western Conference, it's like the Trailblazers. You go, all right, that's the thing with the NCAA tournament. You love the first round upset, but once you get down to the Final Four, you want the top three seeds at least.
Exactly, and you're pretty much burying the NBA regular season too. If you have, you know, it won't be an 82 regular game season, but it's a significant sample size, and now all of a sudden you have the one or two seed get bounced right away.
Yeah.
I think it just buries
that. And everybody says the NBA regular season is kind of pointless at this point because you know who's going to be the top eight seeds just by looking at the roster, unless somebody gets hurt. The playoffs is what really matters. That matters most in any sport, but the playoffs, it's like, all right, the Lakers could get by as a top four seed. Like, they could coast through the regular season. Once it's playoff time, they turn it all on LeBron and Anthony Davis. Same with the Clippers. Kawhi Leonard, 82-game season, he could play 40. He could sit the other 42 and come playoffs, just boom, turn it on, let's go. He's one of the best players in the league. So I can't see a one-game elimination playoff for basketball. Scott Rohrbeck tweets in, I like the idea of being experimental. One of the silver linings of missed these on certain times. And Marco Pola tweets in, go the college route and see what happens. It may catch on and bring back fans. Will it? I don't know. Like, I get it. Every game, it's almost a game seven, or it's at least a game six every single game. Until you have that one loss, now every game's a game seven. That's why I do like the one game wild card. Because it's like, wow, this is every pitch. Every damn pitch matters in this one game playoff. But an entire playoff of a double elimination except for the World Series, I don't know, maybe it does bring back fans. But then when you go back to the normal playoff format the next year, does that mean the fans go away? Does that mean the fans don't care anymore? I don't know. So Stephen Chalfont, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. I want to get your thoughts. What's up, Steve?
What's up, Andrew? I'm going to give you my 2 cents on the MLB and then get a Sixers point if I can.
Yeah, of course, man.
Just to be clear, I am a baseball traditionalist. I don't think, personally, the game needs to change. I think it's a great game. I think it's awesome. I love baseball.
Okay, so you're with me. For the masses, yeah. It needs to be changed.
Yes.
Okay.
However, for the last, I don't know, 5, 7, 10 years, I mean, every year, it's baseball is boring. Baseball needs to change. Baseball needs to evolve. Baseball is dying. And I think from the MLB stance, it's a win-win right now. They should go nuts and change it up this year and say, and use the current situation in the world as their reasoning. And if it works, they say, hey, you know, we listened, we did this, and look at how great it is. And if it doesn't work, they say, hey, listen, we tried it your way. It was better our way. So
right.
I think from them, it's kind of a win-win, and they should go and spice it up and try things and kind of just see what happens.
Okay, but what changes, as a baseball man, what changes are you willing to make? Because I am willing to cut back the season, even in, if there's no pandemic, right? Like, I want it to go down from 162, 128's been my number. But if they want to say, hey, we might be able to fit in 120 games, or as Bryce Harper pointed out, 135, I'd rather still go 80. Let's just go 80 games, see if people hang on to every pitch more, because now it's only 80 games to get into the playoffs as opposed to 162 or 135, as Bryce Harper put it out there. But for the playoffs, I don't want to dirty up the playoffs, making it a double elimination sort of tournament. To me, that's too much.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the specifics of what they were going to do. I mean, Bryce Harper's idea seems pretty radical to me. And like you guys were saying, the double elimination, I do agree that it might be a little bit confusing for the casual fan. So I don't know if I'd go that far, but I mean, I don't think they should just cut the games back and go business as usual this year. I think they need to take this current situation and use it as a reason to experiment a little bit and kind of loosen the reins and see what happens. And I think that, like I said, I think they kind of get a free pass this year to do some experimenting.
Steve, and that's a great thought, man. Now, what do you got on the Sixers?
Real quick. So my Sixers point, listen, I absolutely love the Sixers. I've been living and dying with them over these past several years. I think that if there's any chance at all to get back and play this year, they got to do it. So I know that you said, you didn't think they would be able to win if they were to come back. But I know that if they don't come back, they got zero chance. If they do come back, even if it's a 5% chance, an 8% chance, whatever Vegas tells me it is, I want Sixers back. I'm losing my mind without them. Yeah. And if you could play the song, you brightened up my day. Thanks a lot, Andrew.
I hear you, Steve. I appreciate the call, man. I want basketball to return because I want sports back. But I stand by what I said with Anthony. I think it was on Thursday when we had this conversation. It was the same day as the Brett Brown conversation. On Thursday, I said, whoever wins, to me, it's still bogus. Unless it's like Milwaukee or the Lakers, and it's like, okay, so the top seed ended up winning. I mean, I still kind of find it bogus because that means LeBron James had 2 months to rest. That means Giannis Antetokounmpo, who just goes all out every single game, had 2 months to rest. I just find it bogus that what if the Nets find a way to win because Kevin Durant plays? And I get it, every team's on an equal playing field because they all have 2 months off. So I want it back out of a sheer sports fan who needs to watch sports, who is going insane. I'm going insane at my house. I feel bad for my wife because I'm going insane. From a sheer sports standpoint, I want basketball back. But I will say, whoever wins the championship, I go, asterisks, kind of bogus. So coming up, we have 25 minutes of commercial-free radio. It's my final hour coming up. Jason Martinez coming your way at 12. He'll be on from 12 until 3. I'm going to go through the entire Bryce Harper plan that he has on his Instagram. I'll go through in the entire plan, not just the playoffs, but also the regular season. So I want to react to that. But also, we'll continue the Sixers conversation, and I will replay the audio that we have from Brett Brown, who joined Anthony yesterday, and talked about how this team was built for the playoffs from the very beginning. And he still believes they have a chance to do something if the season returns, if the playoffs return, and he hopes that he can prove that not only to you, but also to the front office. And he also talked about the age and how important it was at that age of 28 that everyone points out. Jordan, LeBron, Durant. I had John from Hazleton call in saying Kobe won when he was 22. Yeah, but Shaq was 28. Tim Duncan won when he was young, but they had the Admiral. All that stuff. So we'll talk about that stuff. We'll talk about the Bryce Harper stuff and much more. All right? 25 minutes commercial-free radio. Come on. We have wide open lines. The number is 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas, and I'm taking you till noon right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
As I was about to come out of break, Josh, it's 11:02. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm Andrew Salcher. He's taking until 12. Jason Martinez will be on then. People hate Carson Wentz. Like, there are people that hate Carson Wentz. I'm not saying the entire fan base hates him, but there are people that hate Carson Wentz. They just don't like him. And I go, what the hell is your problem? So, SportsCenter put out a tweet, and they're doing the game thing where, you know, how teams are posting their logo, what's the first player that comes to mind. So, SportsCenter puts out, what SportsCenter top 10 moment from the 90s comes to mind when you see this? And it's the SportsCenter top 10 image. And I'm like, all right, let me see what people are responding. So I click on it. And the very first tweet I see is from some dude named Alex with a bunch of numbers. This is a SportsCenter tweet about top 10 plays from the 90s. And he responds with the following. In four seasons, Wentz has zero playoff wins, 48 fumbles. He's 7-20 versus teams over 500. He has no heart, no desire to win. He has the IQ of a potato. His teammates hate him. They want Foles. Wentz has started 5-6 in three of his first four seasons. Foles is 24-6 in his last 30 games as an Eagle. I go, huh? So I click on his profile, and I go to tweets and replies. Any tweet he responds with that. Any tweet that, like, you know, there's going to be a lot of reaction to, like, the NFL's official Twitter account put out a Josh Allen tweet. Copy-pasted that exact same tweet. Bleacher Report put out a Spencer Dinwiddie tweet. Copy-pasted that exact same response. Now, this guy is totally insane, in my opinion, and a Foles lover. But why do people hate Carson? Like, why is there a group of people, I mean, hate, root for this kid to lose?
Well, you know how emotional sports fans are. And once they chose Foles as
emotional
the guy.
Emotional or insane?
Well, sometimes emotional borders on insane.
That's what
I'm
saying.
Once they chose Foles as the guy, every time they see Carson, the emotion takes over. That's where the insanity comes in.
Because, Josh, if you don't like Carson Wentz, A, I think you're wrong. But, like, when you go to that length and, you show actual hatred. Like, Dan Orlovsky was on with Anthony earlier this week. And there was a tweet that kind of went viral on our account because I live tweeted something that Orlovsky said, and it was about how only two quarterbacks in the league last year made the playoffs with the following, or without the following. They did not have a 1,000-yard rusher. They did not have a 1,000-yard receiver, not tight end because Patrick Mahomes had Kelsey, but no 1,000-yard receiver, and they did not have a top-10 defense. So they did not have any of those three. And the only two quarterbacks was Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes. And I go, all right, that's pretty impressive. So I put out that tweet. And there were people that were like, so who cares? Carson Wentz stinks. Carson Wentz is injury prone. Carson Wentz pulls himself out of the game. Carson Wentz this. Carson Wentz that. Like, they literally put out a positive Carson Wentz tweet. And people are crushing it. Now, Josh puts up on the board, apparently a guy called in saying that this Alex guy's a Cowboys fan. Apparently, he just trolls Eagles fans. But he's not even, he wasn't trolling any Carson Wentz tweet. He was trolling a Spencer Dinwiddie tweet. And he responded with that. And I go, what the hell is this dude's problem?
My guess is also that he is a Cowboys fan that lives in this area.
Maybe. I guess. I don't know. It's so weird to me, the hate for Carson Wentz. So that threw me off as I was about to come out for this segment. But let's get back to what I was going to talk about until this incredibly insane notion came to my mind that people just hate Carson Wentz. The Bryce Harper idea that I think was planted by someone, some executive, and they probably want to see if people agree or not, or people want this idea or not. But I've been giving you the playoff format. But let's start from the very beginning with Bryce Harper. So he goes as follows. An idea that he's been thinking about, apparently him. Yeah. He wants it to be like an East-West sort of conference like the NBA. So we would have to figure out where you draw the line East-West, right? Like, is it straight down the middle? Are the Houston Astros West? Are they East? You know, all that kind of stuff. You have to figure that out. But then this is where it's insane to me. He starts by saying you would still play 135 games. 31 days in July, 31 days in August, 30 days in September, 31 days in October, and 15 days in November. Off day every 2 weeks on a Monday and on a Monday. So your only off day is on a Monday, but it's every 2 weeks. So you're off this Monday, but you're not off the next Monday. But then you're off the following Monday. And then every Sunday, doubleheader, seven innings. I hate the seven-inning doubleheader unless I'm drinking beers in my Sunday league. I hate the Sunday doubleheader, the idea of it for Major League Baseball. 30 players to a team. Six-man rotation. Why? It saves arms if you have a six-man rotation, he says. But he said only if the pitchers wanted this. And then he also said DH if that's possible, if people want to do that. And then he said playoffs. Two-week World Series like a Super Bowl week, and then that's when he goes into the round-robin tournament. And I go, to the round-robin tournament. I hate the idea of the 135-game regular season. I hate the seven-inning doubleheaders. So everything that Bryce Harper put out, I hate. And then he said the reason why you take the regular season into November, November 15th, you then play the playoffs somewhere like Vegas, which is his hometown. I'm sure he'd love that. He says you have multiple hotels there. You can house everybody for the playoffs. And then you do the three game, you do the round robin tournament, double elimination. You lose round one, you face another team that lost. You win round one, you face another team that won. And double elimination, last two teams standing, they play in a seven game World Series. So that's the bit of normalcy that you get. I'm out on every idea that Bryce Harper pitched. I'm out on every idea that Bryce Harper put out if an executive was the one that told him to put it out there, because it makes sense. Hey, this is the face, one of the faces of the league. Let's have him put it out. I think it's dumb. I hate all of it. And I definitely hate the round robin tournament in the playoffs, even though the majority of people voting on the poll love it. So I'm in the minority. I just think it's stupid. I don't want to dirty up the playoffs when you don't have to. You could still play the playoffs on time, so you don't have to dirty it up. The regular season is the thing that changes here. And to try to fit 135 games in, I think you're insane. Now, I don't know if he's doing that because of the payment stuff. I don't know. I like the idea of 80 games, and that's it. And then you go to the playoffs, normal playoff format. So I hate everything that Bryce Harper put out on Instagram last night. But I want to get your thoughts on it. 610-632-0975. I'm going to replay the Brett Brown audio coming up in a little bit, but let's get back to the phones. Let's talk to Ben in Princeton. Ben, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, good show. How you doing?
Thanks, Ben. How you doing, man?
Good. So I got a couple of things. Now, it's funny. I wasn't going to talk about Wentz, but I can answer that for you. The reason they hate Wentz is because they're mad because people feel like he didn't earn the dough. Now, I'm one of those people. I love it when anybody gets a nickel. I love it.
Hey, you're happy for
him. Hey, I'm not a hater. Hey, get your paper, man. I mean, because I think about all the players before, you know, this crop of this generation, you know, the Jim Browns, the Johnny Unitas. I mean, what would they have been?
Yeah, I mean, Concrete Charlie was Concrete Charlie because he was also working in a concrete company, right? He had to work another job.
Them dudes had to work off season, yeah, just to make bread. So it's resentment. It's the times. I think, you know, as it relates to baseball, they're going to have to go fanless because I just don't think they're going to have the numbers. I mean,
right.
The gate was down before the virus, so. So I think they're just going to have to, they need to pull back on the seasons. I mean, on the number of games during the season, because I just don't, I'm from Atlanta originally. And, you know, the Braves, they moved to they moved from downtown to a smaller stadium and people still weren't coming.
Yeah.
You know, they said, okay, we'll put it out. You know, maybe people don't want to drive into town. They get that. I mean, sure, Boston will have its numbers.
Yeah, because they're baseball first.
Yeah. But they're gonna have to pull back on the games. Probably the days of 300 million contracts might be over. I mean, it might start to contract
right
now.
That's a good question, man. That's going to be a very fascinating debate, because one of the things that Buster Olney, so they've been doing the KBO games, the Korean Baseball Organization games, and I've been watching them because I just miss sports in general.
Yeah.
And Buster Olney was on with Carl Ravitch and Eduardo Perez, and they asked him about free agency. And he said a guy like Mookie Betts, who is doing the he's on his final year of his deal, he's a guy that could have made $330 million. That might plummet. Like, he might go down to the 200 range because baseball's losing money this year. So a guy like Mookie Betts, who was a lock to make over $300 million this year, might not be a lock anymore.
Yeah, yeah. It's going, the money's going to change on a lot of these sports. I mean, I know the, you know, Rocco and the boys, no disrespect to Rocco and the boys, but they want to get the gambling back up. You know, they want to, and I haven't checked out the Korean games, but, you know, I have looked at some table tennis in, you know, the Soviet Union to see what the odds were.
That's awesome. So is my producer, Josh Rabick. He's all table tennised up.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. I think, you know, it's a shame. It's, I thought, you know, the 76ers were going to do a little something this year. I thought it was going to be a good year. And now, I mean, I don't, have they decided that they are indeed going to do football? Or is that still up in the air?
I mean, everything, Ben, is still up in the air, right? But football is still trying to go business as usual. And I appreciate the call. I really do. Great call. I mean, football is acting like there's no pandemic. Right? It was shocking to me that they even did the virtual draft. I thought they were going to still just do the draft in Vegas. Like, screw you guys. We're still doing this. But they're still moving forward, right? They did the draft. They did the schedule release. You know, we got the commercials already running. Philly sports trips. You know, Anthony going to San Francisco. Eagles fans go. I mean, like, that is still, hey, get on board. This is going to happen. If there's a spike in September, maybe that changes. But I mean, they're talking about a spike maybe later fall. So if that means November, well, season started. You've played all of September. You've played all of October in the NFL. You're 8 weeks in. Now what is the question? But I think they keep going. I think football starts on time. I really do. No fans, but I think they start on time. It's going to be weird. Like, I don't know if you do preseason. We'll see. You got to do training camp because you got to have somewhat of an idea of who you're playing with, especially all these rookies. You miss OTAs probably, right? So training camp probably has to happen. But do you not do the preseason? Do you not do those four games? Do you get rid of that stupid Eagles-Jets game in week four of the preseason? Maybe. I don't know. But I think football keeps on going. All right, a couple more callers. I want to talk about Brett Brown. 610-632-0975. Let me at least do this. We all know the fact that Jordan was 28, LeBron was 28, Kevin Durant was 28. Okay. But let's play the first cut, Josh. The one that really means a lot. And it's talking about whether or not this team is built for the playoffs. So Brett Brown, on with Anthony yesterday. This is a cut that when I listen to it, I go, I'm going to run through a wall. Let's go Sixers. I'm going to paint my face blue. But then, like, after I ran through the wall, my head started to hurt. And then I was like, why'd I do that? And then I started thinking about it. And then I go, they're not winning squat. Take a listen to what Brett Brown said yesterday with Anthony.
I completely agree. And I don't think we've ever pivoted once from that notion. Like, this team, and something, and maybe I got myself in trouble, you know, just back when. It's like, I said it and I'll say it again. Like, the team is built for the playoffs. And it doesn't, you know, lob out excuses of what can happen up until then. Like, none of us have taken our eye off the ball because of that comment and belief that I have. And there is an element of reality where, how do you peak? You know, how do you land the plane? And I feel like we were doing this. There's a lot of possible benefits, like the time frame off might have helped Ben Simmons, you know, get back to, you know, normality, get back to a greater level of health, or, you know, time off could have helped Joel. I still, in a perfect world, would want to coach a team for as long as you can to develop continuity and familiarity. We didn't get that this year. But I feel, to your original point, like, the team is designed for the playoffs. We all hope very, very much that we get a chance to prove that.
Brett hopes to get a chance. Brett hopes that he gets a chance. Well, he wants to try to prove that he deserves his job. I don't know if he does. And if they don't get a chance, he's done, my opinion. And a lot of people's opinion. If they get a chance and they lose round one, he's done. Round two, he's done. Eastern Conference Finals, he's done. They get to the finals and they compete, hey, he's probably back next year. Let's face it. 2 month hiatus or not, I still say the reason why they got there is because of the 2 month hiatus. But we'll see. We'll see. I don't think Brett Brown got himself in trouble for saying that. There's other stuff he said this year that got him in trouble, in my opinion. But, hey, I can see how this team is built for the playoffs. But I just don't think it's run well. And that's why I don't think they win. And that's why when I sit back and think about that cut for a few minutes, I go, yeah, you're a great guy, Brett. I just don't think you're the right coach. Let's go to Tasty Cake Dom. Dom, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, man?
Hey, Andrew.
What's going on,
you
Dom?
And Josh are doing a great job.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Love it. We're doing the root. You're the greatest, Andrew. So, Andrew, but here's what Brett, because Brett, I want to root for Brett. I want to root. He's such a nice man.
Oh, yeah.
But he says things that make me, he's an excuse guy. Like, here's what, the team's built for the playoffs. I agree with that. But Andrew, a team that's a great rebounding team, that's a great defensive team with that length, you know what else they're built for? They're built to win on the, defense travels. That team's built to win on the road, and they don't do that.
No, they do not.
In 93, Andrew, when you had Dennis Rodman, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, those three all-world defenders, they went and won two games in Phoenix. They won on the road. This team does not do that.
No, it's crazy. It's crazy.
They're built for the playoffs. They're also built to win on the road, and they don't do that. That's one. The second thing is Magic Johnson won his rookie year, Andrew. Larry Bird won his second year. And by the time they were 28, Larry Bird, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, and Tim Duncan had won multiple championships. Not one. They had each won two championships by the time they were 28.
Yeah.
That's weak. And by the way, by the time he's 28, Andrew Salcunas had his own radio show.
Maybe. Maybe you're right. Hold on.
You're on today.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I've been on Saturday mornings for a couple months now. That's true. I don't know. We'll see.
The age thing, I mean,
it's factually correct. Like, he's right when he says it, especially when he gives out those names. But you're also right. You can come back and say, well, Kobe was 22. Yes, he had Shaq, who's 28. But who's, I mean, Shaq wins MVP in that 01 series. But it's still Kobe.
Magic had Kareem.
Yeah.
You know, Tim Duncan had the Admiral.
Admiral, yep.
You can, but Larry Bird didn't. Larry Bird, McHale and Parrish came after Bird.
Yeah.
Larry Bird won his second, and by the way, his rookie year, Larry Bird was in the Eastern Conference Finals in an epic series with the Sixers. So they won, Bird and Magic won their rookie years. They both won 60 games. Larry Bird had his rookie year, Larry Bird, the Celtics had the best record in the NBA. Game 7 was played in Boston.
Yeah. Yeah. Dom, I hear you, man, because I don't disagree with you. Like, the age thing is I guess a different topic, but I don't know, even that first cut, the cut that I've been playing a lot today, the, you know, I want a chance to prove it, like I still believe it. Like, you, Dom, you're a basketball man, you see it. You know how it works. Like, you see what could work. And yet we didn't see it all regular season except like two games.
You and I talk about this a minute. Bully ball will work. This man refuses to coach bully ball. It makes me, what he says will win, he doesn't do it.
Yeah, he doesn't do it. I don't know, Don. I appreciate the call. Man. I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. It's so weird to talk about it because I feel like we always have to couch the conversation by saying he's such a nice guy, Brett Brown. I'm tired of saying that, quite frankly. If you're just, I don't care how nice you are. If you're not a good coach, you're not a good coach. But, you know, I hear that audio and I go, yeah, you know, he's right. He does have a chance or should have a chance to prove it. But if they don't come back, he's done. And I'm starting to go through the games of the Sixers, so I'm only at game 5, so I'm going to really have to focus on it during the break. The amount of times they had at least 4 of the 5 starters. Because Brett does the whole, hey, we only had our starting 5 19 times out of the 65 games. Now, I'm going to stop counting at whatever game Horford came off the bench for the first time, which I think was the Clippers game. I'll obviously go through it. I forget what I remember. I was at the Leah Kora Center with Jamie doing a show, and that was the first game Al Horford was going to come off the bench. So I'm not going to do 65. I'll do until the time he finally decided Al Horford's coming off the bench. But so far through five games, he has had at least four of his five starters in all five of them. So it's, yeah. Oh, well, I only had my starting five 19 times out of 65. Well, what if you had four of your very good starters like 60 times? Then what are we saying? Then I go, you should have won more. Because look at all the money you've invested. The only guy you're not paying a lot is Josh Richardson. And you made a good trade because Jimmy, you know, with everything that was going on with Jimmy Butler, I wanted Butler to stay. But with everything that was going on, you moved on from Butler. At least you got Josh Richardson in return. You had what we considered the best starting five in the NBA. So if you had four of the five, you're still pretty damn good. So I'm going to see how many times he had at least four-fifths of his starters. And I'll try to keep track who was out which game. So far, through the five games, he had at least four of his five starters all five times. Twice, he had four of the five. And both those games, it was Embiid that was out. So I'll try to do some research for us coming up. 610-632-0975. Again, Jason Martinez coming your way today at 12 o'clock. Will and Josh, you guys hang tight. We're going to continue talking Brett Brown. Will wants to also talk about the Wentz hate topic, which I didn't come into today talking about Wentz hate. It's I see this tweet, somebody just putting out consistent poor Carson Wentz stats. And I go, my God, why do they hate this kid? Why do they hate him? Like legitimate hate toward Carson Wentz. And if you hate Carson Wentz, that means you're rooting against him. And if you're rooting against him, that means the Eagles are going to lose. And you can't go, well, I root for the Eagles. I don't root for the Philadelphia Wentzes. Well, the thing is, if Wentz plays poorly like you want him to, so you could be proven right, that means the Eagles played poorly. They don't have the 91 Eagles defense that could win on their own. All right? 610-632-0975. I'm Andrew Salchunas. Taking until noon right here on The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.